T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mullay and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to this program, and a valued friend. Biggs A!
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, very interesting stuff, I thought, yesterday, listening to Mitchell Trubisky and his, do we call it a plea? More of a just a comment that he's willing to open things up and he wants to do more. I love the Josh Sitton story, which we'll get to in a second. But when you hear him say that, is there a possibility, even a remote possibility, that Dow Logan spent the bye week maybe investigating how other teams do their thing, maybe coming up with more plays, maybe plotting a pass on first down? I don't know, just something different. What do you think about the possibility? Are they still married to this idea of running the ball, playing defense, and winning in that fashion, or will they open things up, loosen up the reins a little on the quarterback?
Well, I think that's a game-by-game proposition. I really do. I don't know that you adopt some philosophy that this is what we're going to do for a two-month stretch now. I was at the Packers game Monday night, guys. They're bad on offense right now, and they didn't play particularly well on defense in that game. I would think that if the Bears believe that they can go out and play good defense and have some success running the football against Green Bay, I'd think that they could feel pretty confident in having an opportunity to have a success with a conservative game plan. Do they need to throw the football too? Absolutely. Am I talking about 50 handoffs? No, I'm not. But I don't know that I'm talking about 30 dropbacks for Mitch Trubisky either. I think there's probably some common ground in the middle between the people who, you know, want to be conservative and the folks that, you know, want to see Trubisky wing it all over the place. I know this, if whatever they do, if the Bears aren't successful Sunday, there's going to be a whole lot of bad feelings no matter how many times Trubisky throws it or how many yards he throws for. You know, this is a winnable game, a chance to get to 4-5. So I think your biggest push right here is what's the best plan to win this football game and then put yourself within one win of reaching 500.
And Biggsy, there are a couple of us or many of us who wanted to see Dontrell Inman just thrown into the mix in New Orleans for a handful of plays and see what happens. Didn't happen. Good to see he's been going in early and meeting with Dow Logans at 6:30 in the morning and trying to learn the offense and all that. What can you expect now in terms of getting him in the mix, Marcus Wheaton in the mix, and you know how does that play out in terms of actually helping them win a game?
Well, I think we'll see a lot of Inman. I think we'll see a whole lot of Inman. I think he's going to be the guy that takes the playing time from Tanner Gentry. I think Gentry's going to be the guy who's kind of the odd man out in that equation. So I think we'll see a ton of Dontrell Inman. I mean, how much can he do? Let's keep in mind that when things were going well with the Chargers, he was a number four, okay? I don't think we should expect him to come in and be a number one wide receiver, but he's got a lot more experience and probably greater skill than most of the options they have right now. They need a little more consistency from Trey McBride, and it sounds like there's a possibility Wheaton could be back out there returning from that groin injury. And certainly he needs to get out there and stay out there, and he could add a vertical element to things. And Kendall Wright's been relatively steady. So we could see, you know, some different looks at wide receiver with Inman out there. Maybe Dow feels a little more confident throwing the ball. I mean, Tanner Gentry hasn't been able to get open on a consistent basis. Trey McBride struggled getting open as well. So I think we'll see them loosen things up a little bit with Trubisky here in the next eight games. Yeah, but again, it's a game-to-game thing. And really, I think ultimately what people want to see is the Bears win some football games.
Love that Mitchell Trubisky story that Josh Sitton told to the media in Green Bay. I just, you hear about a guy being good in the room and being a guy that has a little swagger, and then you hear that story and you think, wow, here's a guy that was practicing in the mirror how to run a huddle because he hadn't done it since he was, in grammar school. And, he's really getting it.
Yeah, no, that was a pretty fun story, and Sitton can Sitton's pretty good to talk to from time to time in that Bears locker room, and that's what you want to see, a young guy who comes in who, the moment's not too big for him. I think Mitch has kind of passed those tests so far. He needs more experience. You go back to he only started 13 games in North Carolina. I think there was a reason why the Bears wanted to sit him from the start to allow him to kind of adjust to the pro game, which is something that they wanted to do for more than four games, which is what it ended up being. But now he's out there. He's gaining this valuable experience. You can do all the virtual reality you want, all the 7-on-7, all the offensive skill players get together at the beach and do some stuff, but none of that equates to live game reps, and he's getting those now. He just needs to make improvements, and the guys around him need to get better as well.
And if people haven't heard the story, basically it's the team was breaking the huddle before he was ready, and he went after him and told him, "Hey, get back in here."
In the bleeping huddle, it's my bleeping huddle.
A couple times, and Sitton said he just loved it. He loves that kind of thing, and it's a great way to kind of communicate, I guess, in that environment.
Absolutely, yeah. In the heat of the moment, no question about that, and that's how you kind of gain the respect of some of your teammates, because you can impress them during the week by what you do on the field, how you are prepared for meetings and those type of things. But really, I think players ultimately respect what other players do on the field, and when you can carry yourself a certain way and then perform, that's when you ultimately gain respect levels.
He's Brad Biggs. Our visit with Biggsy brought to us by Webb Ford. For a great deal on Fords in the Chicagoland area, visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. In Biggsy, the Martellus Bennett story, when a team is as struggling as mightily as the Packers because they don't have the Hall of Fame quarterback directing things and covering up things for them, last thing you need is any kind of distraction. Now, the guy wasn't producing and apparently wasn't telling them about an injury. Does that add anything to does the team come in even more damaged because they had to deal with this during the week?
I don't think so, because, there's a situation where Bennett with this shoulder issue that it sounds like maybe there's a little bit of discrepancy as to exactly what's going on there with that shoulder, but he wasn't going to play on Sunday either, so I don't think it's something where, teammates were counting on him being there Sunday at Soldier Field. It sounds like he may have gone elsewhere and sought an opinion or two outside of Green Bay about the condition for that shoulder. So I don't think it's a situation where he's been a distraction inside the building either. He performed really well as a run blocker for them, but just didn't give him anything in the passing game. Was not the replacement that they were hoping to get for Jared Cook. If you remember last season, the Packers' right. offense was kind of struggling, and Cook had missed time with some injuries. He got healthy. He got out there, took a couple games to get some of the timing down with Aaron Rodgers, but then in that final quarter of the season or so, maybe even more, about six games, they really started to click offensively, and it was because they added that element of the, you know, tight end in the middle of the field, which is something that Mike McCarthy believes is really important for that offense. And for whatever reason, they couldn't re-sign Cook in the offseason. He wound up with the Raiders. So they quickly moved on to Martellus Bennett, which is, you know, a rare move in free agency for the Packers. And you know, he had the kind of bizarre retirement post a couple weeks ago, you know, when he had signed a three-year deal that included an $8 million signing bonus. So you're like, really? You're going to walk away after 1 year and allow them to go after a portion of that bonus? Well, now that they've waived him with this medical thing where they're claiming apparently that he didn't disclose fully some of his injury history when he signed with the team, some of that money could be in jeopardy, but that's a very convoluted process and won't be resolved anytime soon.
It sounds like he was getting ready to have some surgery and shut it down, and they, you know, didn't care for it. But whatever the case, we won't have to deal with Marty on Sunday.
Well, know? Yeah, and you know, you look at a guy like him, how many teams has he been on?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people were critical of Ryan Pace when they traded away Martellus Bennett, but
Giants, Dallas,
5-10, I think 5 teams, 10 years,
just hopping around to some different teams. Brandon Marshall, the same thing. You know, guys like that that are talented but create issues for you can be very difficult to win with. And of course, everyone will quickly point out that the Patriots won the Super Bowl last year. I think most would agree that the Patriots are a little bit of a different operation compared to the other 31 operations in the National Football League. And certainly, Brandon Marshall's teams have had no success since he left Chicago.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. That's our guy, Brad Biggs, from the Chicago Tribune. They're a fine football man. We're going to talk to Big Cat before we get out of here. We've got some fun stuff to talk about as well. Mully and Haley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Haley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. So we talked this morning about this this idea of trading Jason Hayward, and I noticed that there is a story on the front page of the Tribune sports section this morning written by Joe Knowles, the Tribune sports editor himself. So that is interesting to see, the proposed trade. And it's also, I saw our buddy Phil Rogers writing a similar story for MLB.com. There seems to be a real drumbeat for this to happen, and we asked the question this morning, if this is a legitimate story, is there a market for Jason Hayward? Is there an attempt by the Cubs to actually move him? He does have a no-trade clause in his contract. And, you know, we asked a couple other questions, like, you know, how does he feel about it? What does it say about that signing? And how much do they need the money to move on and do some of the other things they want to do? Is this an opportunity to sort of exchange bad contracts? And even though he just won another gold glove, maybe get yourself a pitcher or two that you can take a look at and hope the whole change of scenery thing is legit.
But the thing is, you're going to save a little bit of money, but the bulk of the, I mean, you're picking
it's
up.
It's bad contract for bad contract.
Right. And Mark Melancon also has a no-trade clause, and Jeff Samardzija has a limited no-trade clause. But the assumption is, once a Cub, wouldn't mind being a Cub again, just because it couldn't come to terms on a contract. He ended up getting paid, not as much as I think the Cubs one time offered him, but he still, if you make that trade, you get two for one, although I think the Cubs would have to throw in a prospect or something going the other way to make up the money.
I don't understand. Look at it from the Giants' standpoint. How does that help them? I mean, I understand that Jason Hayward is kind of a young guy in his prime, but...
Well, Melanson's got arm issues on top of not being effective and the money remaining on the contract.
Would you make that deal?
Depending what I had to throw in. If it was two for one, I'd probably make that deal, but like you said, why would the Giants? And the word out of San Francisco, you had Giants beat reporters saying basically there's nothing to this. Baffled was the word that came out of the Giants organization, baffled as to where the genesis of this you know, rumor was or is. I don't think it was made up out of whole cloth. I mean, look, the meetings, general managers meetings start Monday in Orlando. You don't think organizations are looking at everything they need to do, or would their wish list, and the Cubs' wish list would be the number one, or at least 1A would be, one would be get to figure out the starting rotation. Number 1A would be, hey, is there anything we could do with Jason Hayward? He did get his fifth gold glove again, but we know that he's the best right fielder around, and supposedly San Francisco is going to make him a center fielder. That said, I think it's a long shot deal, but really the list of trade partners when it comes to a Jason Hayward contract might be a list of one. It might be the Giants. And so what's the likelihood of that thing getting done? So, you know, look, the Joe Knowles conclusion was, if anyone can get, don't say, and never say never, if Theo can move the earth and the sky and the stars, if someone can find a way to do this, Theo Epstein can do it.
And I think Joe's onto something there. I don't doubt that for a second. I just wonder, you know, are there other trade partners out there? How big would a market be? How many teams would really be interested? Again, he's a gold glove outfielder. He's a guy that that is going to improve your defense dramatically, but is he really going to help
fix
the team?
Him? I mean, he's what? He's what, 28? I mean, is
27?
Can you fix him? I mean, maybe you look at him and say, okay, we're moving bad contracts. We're taking his contract back, but we actually think that you can repair the offensive side of him. You can actually, and even though he worked with Maley last year down in Mesa in the offseason, and you saw a little bit of a return on that early in the season, but by the end of the season, he was Jason Hayward again. He of the 11 home runs in the year of 6,100-plus home runs, a record season for home runs, and this big strapping guy got 11 of them.
And again, if you like the statistics, Samardzija had a higher WAR than any Cubs pitcher last year, right? He had a 3.8 WAR as opposed to Lester with a 2.7, Hendricks with a 2.5, and Arrieta right there as well. That's fascinating. I mean, he did pitch, what, 207 innings? He is a horse. He will, you know, eat innings for you if that's what the requirement is, and he would be a good member of the pitching staff. But it's not like he's Jake. It's not like he's a guy that has that capability of getting on that kind
of
a run.
No, he's a four.
Right?
He's a back of rotation guy.
Right.
He's not, I mean.
But you could use that.
He doesn't walk people, and that was a bugaboo that might have really helped Chris Bosio's
exit.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. And then we, of course, get texters saying, why are you talking about the Cubs and not the White Sox? Well, Rick Hahn was on the station over the weekend and said that they're not doing anything in free agency.
Why would they?
They're not making any moves in free agency.
Their timeline is not this year.
And the Cubs made qualifying offers to both Jake Arrieta and to Wade Davis. And again, the meetings begin Monday, and that's when these type of deals get done and
start getting done.
But it looks like neither of those players will take the qualifying offer, right? And the draft pick compensation, to answer a texter here, is the bottom of the second round before the third round. Because of the offers that were made, they don't get two first round draft picks. You get two picks. They're B free agents.
Yeah, so Class A, B. There's three tiers of free agency,
right.
So compensation is adjusted accordingly.
Right.
And there is the sandwich round before the third round.
So that's for the top
class of free agents, right?
Well, that's they would qualify. They would get two if indeed they don't get them back. Or they sign elsewhere. They would get two. Each would deliver a pick after the second round.
Right.
So it's kind of a high third round pick or a late second round pick that you get in return, which is good. I mean, it's good to get draft picks, but it's not like you're getting a top 10 pick to replace a starting pitcher and a guy that won a Cy Young for you, and also your closer who.
Well, I'll be interested to hear Jed Hoyer when he's on this afternoon or the midday show here on The Score. Have they changed? Is that a hard and fast kind of philosophy not to pay closers? You know, we don't like to spend money on closers, but in fact, maybe this time we need Wade Davis back.
All right, we're going to talk some Bears with Big Cat Williams. First, we'll get an update with Joe.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Let's get out to the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now, and there we find Big Cat Williams. Good morning. How are you, buddy?
What's going on, guys? How are you this morning?
We're very excited because the Bears not only are back from the break, but supposedly they're significantly better because the Packers are coming to town. And, you know, that usually would send a chill down your spine. But these days, the Packers, without Aaron Rodgers, boy, they look like an ordinary team. They look terrible on Monday.
Yeah, they did. You know, you've got to feel good for the Bears. This is a good game for them to come back on. You know, just having the Bears-Packer rivalry and having it without Rodgers, you know, it gives them something to focus on. This defense is going to be riled up this weekend, and it should be a fun game to watch. They should be, you know, turning on all cylinders, so I'm looking forward to it.
How do they handle it inside Hal's Hall, inside the locker room, Big Cat? Do they emphasize the fact that, you know, the Bears are favored for the first time in forever? They even talk about, do they acknowledge that the Packers, can they make the case they're a dangerous team because everyone's counting them out already coming down here?
I think, you know, it all depends on Fox. Each head coach is different. The way he approaches Packer week, you know, it could be a thing where they come out and, yeah, they focus on Rodgers not being there. They focus on you know, them not being underdogs for the first time in, you know, who knows how long. So the vibe in that locker room has to be good right now. You know, you're coming off a first half of the season before the bye where they were actually able to put some things together. The defense looked, you know, good, very good at times. And, you know, the offense, hopefully it has a new piece that will work for it in a wide receiver and will help Trubisky move the ball around, get the ball downfield, open up some things in that running game. Because if you're able to stretch this defense a little bit, if you're able to, you know, get those safeties out of the box, get those linebackers to react to play action, you should be able to do some good things as far as being able to get Trubisky out of the pocket and find some guys open downfield. The Packers' defense has not looked great. You know, their offensive line is banged up. Like you said, Rodgers is gone. There are a lot of things for them. There are a lot of positive things for the Bears to build on this week and hopefully take advantage of.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I think that there seems to be this feeling about town that this is going to be the week they open it up. Now they've really had some time, and they're going to get to the quarterback and have him throwing down the field and all that. And I'm not saying that's impossible, but that would be a big difference to what they've been doing. And they seem to have a formula, which is a game-to-game type of thing where they, you know, depending on how the game situation is, they might shut down the offense. If they feel they're ahead, they might want to kill the game instead of trying to make a play. It's just weird that everybody in town seems to think that now the quarterback will be unleashed.
Well, you just, like you said, you know, you hope that the game plan for this week is to be able to try and get the ball down the field. But, you know, you have to realize Green Bay is a well-coached team, too, so they're going to come in with a couple wrinkles. They're going to try and show Mitchell a few things that, you know, he hasn't seen. They're going to give him a few things that he has seen that has bothered him. You know, we talked last week about the blitzes off the edge and whether or not, you know, Trubisky realizes sometime who his man is on a blitz. You know, the offensive line can pick up five guys. You have a running back or a tight end up in there, and they can pick up a guy. But if the defense brings more than that six or seven guys, Mitchell has to know that, you know, one of those guys is his. You know, he is either going to have to avoid that guy or he's going to have to throw hot to that side where there should be a guy, you know, running semi-open. So there are a lot of things that are going to go into it, but, you know, both teams are going to be making adjustments. We don't know what the Bears' game plan is. Like you said, do they plan on coming out, you know, heavy defense, good special teams, and just try to run the ball and short pop passes? Or are they actually going to try and open it up this week against a Green Bay defense that, you know, has had its problems against the pass?
He's James Big Cat Williams. Big Cat is brought to us by Muller Honda in Highland Park during the Happy Honda Day sales event. You will not be disappointed. And Big Cat, the bye week, I'm sure most teams probably do a lot of similar things with self-scouting and such, but offensive squads in particular, offensive coordinators in particular, did any of your seasons stand out where you knew that the coordinator really, you know, did a deep dig into what the team was doing or what other teams were doing to add or subtract from the playbook? You know, did you feel a confidence level one season over another versus because of what one guy did versus what another guy did?
Yeah, I remember one year when Bob Wiley was here. We were, for some odd reason, we were having trouble running the ball, and we just weren't, the running game just wasn't working for us. So, you know, we went into meetings the first part of the bye week, and we decided to, as a group and with Bob Wiley's permission, we cut the running game down. We went into, I forget who we were playing right after the bye, but we went into that game with maybe four different runs. We had four runs, but they were out of multiple formations. You know, they were runs that we had blocked for years, things that we knew how to do. And it worked for us. I think we came out of that game with, you know, over 150 yards rushing, and it helped to build up our confidence. It got us back on track. And after that week, we started adding more things back in. But it was just about going back to the basics and doing what we were good at. You know, four runs does not seem like a lot of runs, but when you put each run with maybe eight different formations and motions and, you know, just the different things that you can do, the way the quarterback hands the ball off, if he's reverse handing off or something like that, you know, these are things that you can change up, but you really don't change a lot of your scheme. And that really helped us out. It really helped to motivate us and get us back on the right track. I could see the Bears doing something like that, whether it be with the run game or with the pass game. You know, we've talked several times about how good Howard is for running out of shotgun. And they haven't done it a lot. You know, you have a quarterback in Trubisky that is very comfortable in shotgun. You have a running back that likes to run out of shotgun and has proved that he can do it. So I think it's something that, you know, they just have to go back and clean some stuff up. Maybe, you know, not narrow things down, but just make things a little simpler. And, you know, a bye week is a good week to get that done.
I'm curious if you saw the Josh Sitton story yesterday. He apparently was on a conference call with the Green Bay media and told a story about Mitchell Trubisky during one of the games. They broke the huddle early and they were heading back to the line, and Trubisky, you know, swore at him a couple times, get back in here, I break the huddle, you guys don't, and gave him the business a bit. And Sitton said that he loved it, that's kind of, you know, the sign of a quarterback taking some control. How important is it, the demeanor of a quarterback in the huddle? I'm sure, you know, Jonathan Quinn had some issues with that, as I recall.
Yeah, it's very important, man. When you bring a young quarterback into the huddle, you want to know that he has the ability to take control. You know, you always hear about the quarterbacks are, you know, the most important piece on the field at that point in time, and that's the truth. You know, they're the ones that get everything started. They're the ones that have the ball in their hand 100% of the time on offensive snaps. So you want to know that you have a guy in that huddle, running that huddle, that is serious about what he's doing, that knows what he's doing, that is a little bit of, has a little bit of cockiness about him with the things that he's doing. And, you know, I know as an offensive lineman, you respect that. Now, if he goes out and he matches his game to, you know, that cockiness, that's even better. You know, because now you're starting to think, okay, this stuff is starting to come to him. It's starting to come around. Because you can't walk into that huddle and be like, okay, we're going to run four slam Z. Hold on, wait a minute. You know, you can't do that. You have to come in with that chip on your shoulder. And if you have to make an adjustment in a play call, you want to see your quarterback be able to do that. You want to see him get halfway through a call and be like, okay, they called that wrong. I need a slant on the backside of that. you know, take charge of your huddle. Let everyone in that huddle know that you know exactly what's going on.
Who is the best?
That goes a long way.
Who is the best you saw do that in your time here?
I played with like 1,000 quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
any of them
any good?
Any of them ever stand out with it?
The two that stand out are Eric Kramer and Jim Miller.
Yeah.
You know, they were very confident in, you know, what their skill set was, and they knew how to communicate with the team, you know, both on and off the field. And I think that's something that, you know, people forget about. You know, you can come into a locker room and lay the law down, and then once practice is over or once the day is over, you don't see those guys anymore. They don't conversate with you anymore. But you have some quarterbacks that are always around. You know, they're at offensive line dinners. They're in offensive line meetings. They're in running back meetings. You know, they're in wide receiver meetings. They're in the places they're supposed to be, and they're making their knowledge known. They're letting you know that, okay, look, I'm serious about this. I'm finding out. They need to know the way every cog in that wheel works. I need to know who the offensive line is blocking, who they're responsible for, what routes the wide receivers are running, who the backs have to pick out up in a blitz, or whether they're out on a hot read on a blitz. You know, what's the tight end doing? Quarterbacks have a lot of stuff to do, and they have to make sure that everybody around them understands that they understand what's going on.
Great stuff, James. Appreciate it. Take care, Cat.
No problem, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, James.
That
you too.
James Big Cat Williams. You hear him on the pregame show, or excuse me, the postgame show with Hub and Olin, and that's great stuff. I mean, that is so important. The most famous one of all time is Joe Montana in the Super Bowl. They're marching down the field. He looks over and he's like, "Hey, was that John Candy? Did you guys see John Candy?" And it just calms everybody
diffuses
in the huddle,
the whole thing is
now just them doing their thing. They're just joking around, and it's like any other day at the office. And
was Jonathan Quinn the guy with the shaky hands?
Jonathan Quinn supposedly couldn't stop his hands from shaking when he was on the field and was in the huddle, kind of
take care of that
nervously trying.
Grand Marnier,
Grand Marnier, and a bong hit. Okay, we've got it. Yeah, there's a place for
breakfast
everything.
Of champions.
Oh, my God. Josh Gordon. Oh, boy. Hey. It's a joke.
Z, wait till after the show.
All right. We got some fun stuff for you in just a second, Molly and Ailey on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Sports Radio 670 The Score. Can we hear Jimmy Buckets falling out of the water?
Oh, falling out of a canoe. We heard what he said about Fred or me and all that on the canoe trip.
We talked about that yesterday.
On hang time. The
canoe trip didn't end well.
No.
But Jimmy fell in like about a what? Foot of water? 2 feet of water?
Yeah, they're bringing the canoe up on shore and it's just, you know, floating in, and they're going to ground the canoe.
Was it that cold out?
He was screaming before he even...
Well, let's take a listen.
That was a lot harder than I thought it would be because somebody didn't pull their weight.
Yes, I did.
Whatever, bro. Ah!
What? I'm hot. I'm mad. You set me up.
He was anticipating.
He fell in the water.
Yeah.
He screamed like Sinatra.
I'm hot.
Had just gotten on stage.
There's about 6 inches
and
of water.
And he was a Bobby Soxer.
Yeah. He's the canoe goes over. He's half in the water. Again, 6 inches of water. But the anticipation that he was going to drown was unbelievable.
People have drowned in bathtubs. It's not.
I'm not.
But really, truly, truly bizarre.
Yeah.
February 9th. What do you think, Jimmy? Are you ready to come back?
You set me up.
He has a life jacket on, too, doesn't he?
He had a life jacket on. Yeah.
And the oar.
He had the oar.
He has the canoe he can hang on to in 6 inches of water. But
oh, I don't know why that's funny, but it's hysterical.
I rewound and watched it 4 times.
Oh, my God. And like, let me tell you something. It's, you know, Jimmy getting out of canoe is like watching your grandmother try to get in a car.
It makes it funnier because it's such a small amount of water, and he's just terrified.
I don't know what he thought was going to happen. You don't melt. But,
I'm not.
All right. Want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing. Most of all, thanks a ton for listening. It means a lot to us.
Have a great day, everyone. Stay dry. Stay out of your canoe or in your canoe, whatever. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning, live at 5. Please join us.
More Tricks with Potatoes tomorrow. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.